morning, and thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. By way of our online service, we especially want to welcome our visitors to our website and to Rochdale Baptist Church. We are so grateful that you've decided to join with us as we worship the Lord this morning and have the opportunity to hear from His Word. By way of announcement, we want everyone to know that we are resuming our normal worship times and services as of today, May 10th. We have found this website and the audio and video content shared on it to be especially helpful to those that are shut in or are still self-quarantined due to higher risk. So we will continue to publish Sunday morning services on our website until further notice. We hope the service this morning will be an encouragement to you. As always, we will begin with a couple songs. So for our first song this morning, we will be singing Come Thou Fount. Today is a very special day in the life of our church and our nation as we celebrate Mother's Day. To all our mothers listening in, we say Happy Mother's Day, and thank you for all you do and for who you are. Without you, we would not be here, and I mean that quite literally. Being a mother is one of the greatest calls a person can have on their life. I have a mother that somehow managed to raise me, and now my kids have a wonderful mother that continues to raise me, and them, of course. She is the best mother I know. No offense to all other mothers out there and other mothers in my life, but my wife has been an exceptional mother to our two kids, and I'm proud to have her as my partner in this crazy job we call parenting. You deserve far more than one day of celebration. I hope all of our mothers out there have a wonderful day, and may God bless you for all you do and for all that you have done to raise this generation or the next. Now for our next song, please join with me as we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We included some special music this morning, and we hope that you'll sing along with us as we sing an old favorite, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing, this my plea.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not a good that I have done,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Again, thank you for taking part in our online worship service this morning. We pray it will be a blessing to you. The message today is titled, The Heart of a Warrior. The main scripture passage is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
It's a joy and it's a privilege to be with you again on this precious Lord's Day. Doesn't seem possible that it's already the second Sunday of May. Today, we as a nation celebrate Mother's Day, a national holiday, a day that we gladly choose to recognize our mothers and the significant role that they play in our lives. If there was ever a time that we need to pray for our mothers, it is now. There was ever a time that we need to support mothers and to encourage mothers. It is now. If there was ever a time when mothers need to be strong and need to be godly, it is now. I was blessed to have a godly mother, a mother who had the character of our Heavenly Father and who took a lot of time teaching me and loving me, caring for me, and much of who I am today I owe to my mother. There's many quotes. You can go online and you can look up quotes of the significance of a mother, and there is really no end to it. And many of the famous men and women of our past history in this country have quotes stating the godliness of their mother and the impact that it made on their lives. And I realize in saying that, there are going to be those whose mothers were not so good, mothers who were not godly, and the Lord still mightily used those individuals by His choosing. You see, nothing is impossible with God, but there is a way that is right before God, and there is a way that God prefers. And of course, it would be the method of a godly mother raising godly children. And so today, the tone and the spirit within the home, we need to realize that it's generated by the mother. The attitudes of the children, to a great extent, are going to be influenced and affected by the attitude of the mother. Her values, her character will hold the key in developing children who love the Lord. And the mother who prays for her home is often going to be the only thread that keeps the home together and keeps the children loving and finding the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, our ladies deserve our best. They need us to love them, and they long for us to listen to them. Their call as a mother is often a thankless job. Be quite honest, as I watched my own mother and my wife and now my daughters, I tell you, it's a never-ending job. And most often, it's just plain right down overwhelming. And although not everybody who's listening today is a mother, I realize that. There'll be men in the audience. There'll be some ladies who've not had children. Everyone who is listening can encourage a mother. And this message is designed, if we ever want to have revival in this nation, then we had better focus our attention on encouraging women who have children to be the best godly mothers that they can be, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be sold out to Him by faith, trusting Him in each day to help them in the tasks they're going to do, to raise their children, and to have a home that is a blessing. You say, I've already raised my kids, Brother Shannon. Well, good. I would encourage you, though, to read Titus chapter number 2 and verses 3 and 4. And the Bible tells us there that the aged women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I realize that in reading this, much of that's going to be out of date. It's going to be not really what the times demand. But you know, as a pastor, I don't really care what the times demand. I care what the Word of God says. And if you want a blessed home, we had better return to believing and walking in the Word of God and not what the world tells us. We have many women that are more capable than any man to hold down a job and to lead other people. That's not in question. It's what goes on at the home that is very significant that we want to talk about today as far as God being able to use our women and our mothers to be a powerful, impacting force upon our children's lives. Let's be honest, there's no higher calling really than a mother. In recent weeks, we've spoken about the spiritual warfare that's going on in our nation and in our homes. And the Lord would have our eyes to be open to truth, that our mothers are often the target for attack. Satan bombards the home, and particularly our wives and our mothers, with doubt, with fear, with anxiety. He often uses confusion. No doubt, the truth of overload impacts the home. The temptations that come with those things are complaining, murmuring, frustration and anger, bitterness of heart, a rebellious spirit, and oftentimes the yelling is the kind of the mode for the day, and hopelessness often sets in. Well, what is the answer? You know, these things that I just told you about are not the recipe for a victorious home, and they're certainly not the recipe to be able to raise champions for Christ. Well, we're going to take a look today at a mother who I would call a warrior. The heart, she has the heart of a warrior. She probably wouldn't see herself that way. And many of the mothers that we know that are godly, they would never see themselves that way. But to be quite honest with you, they fight harder for our children and for their home and for all the things that are good than many times our men do. They're much more a warrior than sometimes we are. Today, we're going to look at one like that. Her name is Hannah. If you have your Bibles, you can be turning 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verses 1 through 18. Before we read there, I want to encourage you as you're getting your Bible or turning to it, that John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Your Bible is the word of truth. It is God's word to us in this day, not just in days past, but right now, in days moving forward. It contains all the truth that we need to bless our lives, to direct our lives, to help us. And so I hope that you're faithful to be in your Bible. And again, I'll quote it for you. John 17:17, sanctify, that means purify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. You have your Bible. Excuse me just for a minute as I get a drink. You have your Bible. I hope you've turned to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathiah-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her relentlessly to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, went she up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she, and that being Hannah, wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept bitterly, or sorely. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli observed her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be intoxicated? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I been speaking. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy portion that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious love towards us. And we thank you today, Lord, that you desire for us to not just hear your word, but to understand it, to be able to take it into our own hearts and to believe it by faith. That you desire for us to do that which we hear. Lord, we each pray today that you would strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Father, among those that listen today, undoubtedly there's some that are lost and undone, that have never trusted Christ as Savior. And although the message today is about mothers, you and you alone are able to save souls with this message. So, Father, for the one that does not even realize that they're a sinner, that they're undone before you, lost and headed to a sinner's hell, we pray today that you would open their eyes and open their heart to understand their need for a Redeemer. And Father, above all else, I pray that they might understand that Jesus died on the cross to save them, to be the redemption for their own soul. And God, that the price that He paid through His own blood is more than enough to cover their sin and to take it away. I pray today, Lord, that you would bless us with your wisdom, bless us with understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that you would take away every hindrance, every distraction that would take away from us hearing your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to kind of give you the picture here in the setting in which we're going to look at today, because we're going to be looking at Hannah. I mean, many messages have been preached this portion of Scripture, and even messages about a mother. But today I want to look specifically at something that you may never have heard preached before, and that is Hannah as a warrior, or Hannah who has a heart of a warrior. And if there's something that's needed in the home today, it's mothers who have a warrior's heart, that they're willing to do what it takes to make sure that their home is a place of blessing. They're willing to make sacrifices on their own part. They're willing to go to battle against the enemy. And they're willing to do it in a way that is right before God so that God can bless the home. And Hannah here is with another woman who they're both the wives of Elkanah. And Hannah is not able to have children. The Bible says that Peninnah, obviously by verse 4, she has sons and daughters. And her husband, it's time for them to go up and to make sacrifice. They're going to Shiloh, and there they're going to find Eli, the prophet, or the priest. And he has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who are also priests. And later on, we'll find out in Scripture that they're really evil sons. They're sons that really disregard the holiness of God and the priesthood. And that's not significant to our story today, but just to give you a setting. And they're going up to Shiloh to make these offerings, and Elkanah gives portions to each wife. And the Bible says in verse 4 that he gives Peninnah her portion. It just describes it that way, just as a portion. But to Hannah, he gives a worthy portion. In other words, something that might not be expected for her as a wife who does not have children. He would give only just enough for her. But in this case, he gave her a worthy. That means really equal to what he had given to Peninnah. He didn't diminish it because she was not able to have children. He loved Hannah. He's a good man, obviously. And so as we look at it, the Bible says in verse 5 that Hannah's womb had been shut up by the Lord. It's hard for us to understand that. Hard for us sometimes to accept things in our life, and we don't really see the eternal picture or the purposes of God. And many times things like this aren't necessarily that God had done, you know, certain things in our life, but God sometimes allows things in our life. And in this instance, God himself had shut up her womb, and it was to bring glory to him in the end. It was to be a glory unto the God himself on what he's going to do in Hannah's life and what he will do through Hannah in the time that follows this. Peninnah had become an adversary, the Bible says in verse 6. And I don't want to go too deep into it, but that gives you a rough setting of what's going on. And so today, we're going to look at the problem. And as you look at the problem is that verse number 5, that Hannah's womb had been shut up. You know, every home has its problems. I don't think there is a home that is perfect. In some homes, there's financial problems. In some homes, there are problems with sickness. And in every home, there's no doubt some failings. Some homes have marital issues. Some homes have issues with the children. Sometimes it's issues that are hard to understand, but there's no home that's perfect. I want you to see here, though, that the problem that Hannah has is going to later become a testimony to the Lord. I want you to see that in the problem often is where the attack of the enemy is going to come as well, because not only is there a problem, but there is an attack on the home. Satan is going to use somebody that's very close to Hannah to attack her. It's not going to be any different, really, in your home. The people often that are the closest to you are going to be the means by which the enemy tries to attack you. And if we have to understand anything from the message today, it's this: that they're not the enemy. The enemy is trying to make an attack through them, but they're not the enemy. And so as we look at it, the enemy is going to use Peninnah, the other wife, to make his attack. We all need to make sure that we're not being used by the enemy to make an attack on somebody around us. You know, it's easy to see when you're being attacked. It's easy to recognize when somebody's attacking you, but it's hard for us to understand sometimes that we're an actual method by which the enemy uses to attack people that we love. Verse number 5, it's going to tell us that it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary," verse 6, "also provoked her relentlessly to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." And so what we see that is the motivating factor for Peninnah, no doubt, is that she is jealous. Because the Bible says, "For he loved Hannah," and Peninnah no doubt saw that. And in verse number 6, it says that Hannah was seen or was an adversary to Peninnah, or Peninnah was her adversary. She was an enemy of her. She went so far as to provoke her, and she provoked her to a point that the Bible says she provoked her sore. And that means trouble, which man causes, and it triggers hurt feelings in another. It's the stirring up or provoking of the heart. And it often is to a point where it's like a heated condition. It's a hot situation between two people. You know what that is? That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare often is used by the enemy in our home to try to tear down what God is doing. There is a result of this. There's consequences for it. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." You see, our actions have consequences. In verse number 7, the Bible tells us what happened because of the attack that Peninnah made on Hannah. It says, "And as he did so year by year, went she up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, and therefore she wept." And he's talking about Hannah here. "And she did not eat." There's two things that happened because of this attack by the enemy. Number one, Hannah wept. She was hurt. Proverbs 15:13 says, "By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Proverbs 12:25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop." And then in that same verse, it says that she did not eat. Why didn't she eat? Well, verse 10 tells us, it says, "She was in bitterness of soul." You know, whenever you're bitter like that, everything is changed. When that bitterness sets in, it makes it hard to think. It makes it hard to pray. It makes it hard to eat. And so she was hurt. It was a heart-crushing experience that she was going through in her home. I wonder how many of you listen to me today have a heart-wrenching experience going on in your own home. Family turmoil. Some of you may be facing problems within your marriage that's devastating. You know, those things are real, and they deserve our attention, and we shouldn't be afraid to seek out godly counsel. But you know, these issues that are there, they're not the end of the world. It's not the point to where we get where there's no hope. There are answers. And oftentimes, the answers that we think that we have are not the answers that are from the Lord. Because sometimes whenever we get involved, if you look at verse number 8, this is what can happen. It says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to Hannah, why weepest thou?" You know what I look at when I see that? He's thinking, why? He can't understand that. There's confusion that's brought into the home. So the result of the attack is someone crying and weeping. Hannah is someone who's not eating. It's Hannah. But to the husband, to Elkanah, he's confused. No doubt Hannah is too. Why is this happening to us? Why is this going on? You know, give Elkanah a little bit of credit. He was observant. And the fact of the matter is, he did care. And the truth is that he wanted to help. And for some of us in our home, we'd be well advised to look at our loved ones and to see that sometimes their actions don't really represent their heart. They really want to do something good. They really want to try to make things better. They really want to help. But in his confusion, he didn't really make the situation better. You know what he did? He made it worse. Look at the end of this. It's really, to me, it's kind of a little bit of humor. He says, "And why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved?" And then here's the part that's kind of humorous to me. He says, "Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Now, in this situation, that wasn't funny to her. Looking back on it for us, we can look at it and we can say, man, that was not the right thing to say. And really, he didn't really have a clue, did he? He didn't understand the full weight of what was going on in Hannah's heart and her deep desire to have children. And really comparing himself to having a son, the two weren't apples to apples. It was apples to oranges. They weren't even in the same league together. She loved him. And yes, he was enough for her, but she also desired to have children. And that not being fulfilled, her heart was broken. And so Elkanah couldn't fully understand. Men, that's often where we're at. We don't go to the Lord to ask him to help us. But we try to solve the problem ourselves, and we try to answer or give answers to our wives that really aren't an answer at all. They only make things worse. A lot of times, the best thing to do is to listen, to give comfort, sometimes without words. But most importantly, it's for us to go before the Lord and ask him for his wisdom and his counsel. Well, you know, God does have an answer here. And that's what I want to look at next. Look at verse number 11. It says, "And she vowed," and that being Hannah, "she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now you'd have to read the verse again right before this, but Eli is at the temple. But Hannah, instead of going to Eli and pouring out her heart, she went directly to the source who could change everything. She went to the only place that she could find an answer. She went to the Lord himself. And what does it say that she did? Well, first of all, it says that she vowed a vow. You know what that tells me? That means that Hannah was serious about her faith. Hannah, she knew the consequences of a vow. And she determined that she was going to live according to the vow that she made. It didn't make any difference which way, but when she made this vow, she was fully committed to what she was going to say. She's going to give up the issue before the Lord. She's going to give it over to him. She's going to place it into the hands of God. And in this, she's going to trust that he's going to give an answer. And it may not be the answer that she wants, but at the point that she gives it to him, she's going to leave it there. That's what we need to do. But that's often what we have the hardest time doing. We say we give it to the Lord, but you know what we do? We turn around in a day or a week or a month later, we pick that problem right back up and we try to move it again by ourselves. And you know, Hannah gives us a good example of what we're to do. At the end of this, it's going to say her whole countenance is going to change. And for one simple reason, it's going to tell us that she was sad no more. It's because she's going to trust God with the answer that she cannot see, that she's willing to wait for, that doesn't have to be the answer that she expects. But she's still going to ask God for that, but she's going to trust him with it. The second part, not only did she vow a vow, but it says that she called upon the Lord of hosts. She says, "O Lord of hosts." And literally in the Hebrew, or in our English and translated, it's Yahweh of Sabaoth. And that is the part of God's character that I would describe as the warrior part of God. It's the part that goes to battle for us. As a matter of fact, that term, O Lord of hosts, is mentioned 80 times in the book of Jeremiah, 14 times in the book of Haggai. It's mentioned 50 times in the book of Zechariah and 25 times in the book of Malachi. And every time it's when there is an approaching national judgment upon Israel. And it's at a time whenever Israel needs a warrior. They need the power of God. And that name is what's given during that time. Well, you know what Hannah needs? She needs somebody to fight on her behalf. She has an enemy. And the enemy's not seen. The enemy's using somebody who's seen in her life that's close to her. And that's why it hurts so much. But Hannah is going to call upon the Lord of hosts. She's going to call upon the one who is, it's a special reference to the one who can help in the time of warfare. If you want to take time, you can go to Psalm 46, verses 7 through 11, and it'll describe for you there the Lord of hosts. The word host in the Bible is almost every time related to one of these. It's the heavenly bodies, the angels. It could be saints. It could be any number of ones that the Lord can use that he uses to marshal up his forces in order to move on the behalf of his people or for an individual. And it's always to fulfill his purposes and to help his people. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Well, the third thing that she did was she made a vow, first of all. Second of all, she knew who to call upon. And third of all, she knew what to request. Look at what it says. It says that she asked for God to look upon her affliction. She asked for God to remember her. She asked that God forget not thine handmaid. Every one of these are very specific. She's not just going through and saying, God, I need your help, but she is specifically asking God for his help. When she says, look on my affliction, she's calling his attention to what her problem is. Does God not know what it is? Yes, but she's acknowledging before God that she sees the problem and that he's the only one that can help. I hope you understand how important that is. When she says, remember me, has God forgotten her? No, but she's pouring out her heart before him. She's revealing what's in her heart. She's not trying to hide anything from God. And often, even in our prayers, it's as though we're trying to hide something from the Lord, and he sees it all. When you go before the Lord, bear it all before him. Let him hear it all. He knows it already. But when you bear it all before him, by faith, God often moves. And you know what she says? She says that you will, God, that I ask you that you will give unto thine handmaid a man child. You know, she asked exactly what was up on her heart. She desired to have a male child. Why? Because that's in the time, that's how blessing came in to the home. That's how the man's name was carried on. That's how the whole future of the family was established, was in that male child. And so she asked for God to give her that male child. But I want you to notice that not only did she make a vow, and not only did she know who to call upon, and not only did she know what request to make, but she knew how to humble her heart. She says, thine handmaid. You know what that references? It references the fact that she sees herself as a servant. She's not ordering God. She's asking as a lowly servant. She's asking as one submitted to God and somebody who's humble before the Lord. Lord, can you help your handmaid? You know, the Bible tells us that the prideful are going to be brought down. It tells us that the lowly are going to be exalted. And so if you want your prayer to be heard by God, then you better find a place of humbleness where you recognize it before an almighty God, who he is and all that he's done, and that God is sovereign, that he can do as he will, for he's created all of this. If you can't get to the place where you can be humble before him, how do you expect God to hear your cry? So not only did she make a vow, and not only did she know who to call upon, and not only did she know the request to make, not only did she humble her heart, But I want you to see that she committed herself. She went and committed herself as deep as one could possibly do. Here she's asking for this male child, but then what does she do? She says, God, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Another thing that was done at the time, that whenever a child or when an individual was given to the Lord, they wouldn't touch their hair. It was a matter of holiness before God. It's hard for us to understand those things, but in the day, it was well understood that it was a matter of commitment on her part. And part of that commitment was that at the time appointed, she would give this child back to the Lord. Now, we didn't read all of it, but she is going to have a child, and his name is going to be Samuel, and he's going to become a priest of Israel, one of the greatest of all, and he's going to serve Saul and David, and he's going to be a warrior priest, a mighty man of God. And you know what she's going to do? At the time that he's weaned, she's going to take him back to the Lord. Probably the hardest time in her life to give Samuel up, she's going to give him back to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is she's not going to give him up at the point when she weans him. She's giving him up right here, before she ever has the child. That's what true commitment looks like. It's not turning back. It's not fudging on your commitment or your vow. It's not going back and changing it just a little bit, or saying, well, I didn't know this was going to be the way it is. But it's whenever a commitment is made, it's fully understood. And at that point, it's known, and you never look back. She became fully invested in the Lord. She's going to trust him with everything. And that's the last part I want you to see here in the answer, is that she asked in faith. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says, if you look at verse 13, it says, now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. You know, there's something that's special about prayer. And that is that we serve a God that does not have to hear our voice. If you'll remember, oftentimes, Jesus, whenever he was speaking to his heavenly Father, he would make the statement that, Lord, Father, I don't say these things so that you can hear, because he knew that God heard him. But he said it so that the people would hear. What did that mean? It meant that Jesus had ultimate faith and trust in the heavenly Father. And that trust is what Hannah's expressing here. She knew that God heard her heart. She knew that she didn't have to say the words out loud. Her voice wasn't heard. But look at verse 15. Here's another truth about prayer. And Hannah answered and said, because Eli comes to her and he thinks that she's drunk, and he tells her that she needs to put away the wine. And you know what she says? She says, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Today, if you want to become a warrior in your home, ladies, it doesn't matter whether you have 10 children or you have no children. It doesn't even matter whether you have a husband or not at this point. But if you want to become one who moves mountains, if you want to become one who, whenever you pray, that God hears your request, and you want to become a warrior for other homes and other people who are struggling, you want to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven, listen to what the Bible says here. It says that she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit, but I want you to notice it says that she poured out her soul before the Lord. You know, that's whenever you know that it's just between you and the Lord. You're not putting on any front for anybody. There's no fakeness in it. You simply are just going before the Lord, and you're pouring out everything that's there, not because you think that God can't hear it, but exactly for that reason, that you know that God's hearing it. Well, the answer is pretty simple here. It's number one, it's being willing to make a vow. Number two, it's being willing to call upon the Lord and knowing who He is. It's number three, it's being specific in your request. It's number four, going before the Lord with a humble heart. Number five, it's being totally committed, holding nothing back but being fully invested. And number six, it's asking in faith, knowing that the God who hears you is going to move on your behalf. Now, finally, I want you to see that for the believer, there can be peace. Look at verse number 18. Right in the midst of trouble, right in the midst of an attack, there's going to be peace. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know what? She knew that she didn't deserve it. That's why she asked, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." She knew that it wasn't because she had done something. It wasn't because of even her prayer. It was only going to be a matter of grace by God giving her way. It says that she went her way. I love that because you know what she did? She got back into life. There's some of you who have almost exited life. There's some of you that are on the verge of exiting life. You're about ready to choose. You think it's about time to give up and you're just going to call it in. And you know what it is? Whenever you give these things to the Lord and you trust Him, you're able to get back into life. You're able to step back in and you're able to make a difference, not only just in your home, but in every place that God chooses to use you. I don't care today if you're 10 or if you're 90. If you're still breathing, the Lord's not done with you. The best of your life is right ahead of you. If it's one day, then praise to the Lord. If it's another year, praise to the Lord. But it might be another 10 or 15 or 20 years. How much difference could you make for the glory of the Lord if you fully committed yourself to Him and to His kingdom and you prayed and poured out your heart before God, not only on just on your own behalf, but on the behalf of others, and you were willing to go and to do what God asked you to do? She went her way. She got back into life. And she saw that life was doing what? Trusting and walking with the Lord. And what does it say she did? Well, she ate. I think she was a good Baptist. You know why? She ate again. She had been at a point where she was so bitter and upset about what was going on and the attack that was there, she couldn't even eat. And many of us have been there. But when we finally give it up to the Lord, you know what He does? He takes that away, the sickness in the heart and in the stomach, and they're often connected. And we go right back and we're able to return to normal life and to eat. And then the last thing that shows you the peace, most of all, it says that her countenance was no more sad. She had left it with the Lord. Let me ask you today, is there trouble in your home? Is there trouble in your life? Yes, I'm speaking mainly to mothers and for our mothers to become warriors like Hannah was here. But I'm speaking to every single one that's listening, whether it's a man or a woman or even a young child or a teenager. What trouble is it or issues that you have in your life? Do you want to become a warrior for the Lord? You got to learn to be able to give it to Him, pour out your heart. You got to learn to be able to trust Him. You got to have faith in Him. And you got to be willing, once you pour it out and lay it before Him, to walk away, return to life, and to begin to do the bidding that the Lord calls you to. Take a look at your spirit today. If you got an attitude of bitterness, an attitude that is one of complaint, murmuring, is there guilt in there? Today you can give it all up. Today you can take your hands off of it. Today you can say, "Lord, I want to set a stone down here today where I'm not going to anymore be used by the enemy. I'm not going to allow him to even twist me in any way. But God, I'm going to allow you to empower my life in such a way that you can make a difference for heaven." Father, I thank you for each one that's listening. Lord, only you can take a message given by a man through the power of the Holy Spirit, use it in the lives of all who hear. Today we ask for you to speak to each and every heart. Many are on the part of being attacked. There very well may be some here that are in the midst of doing the attack. There may be some among us, Lord, that are lost and undone. You and you alone know the heart of every single one. So, Father, as you speak, I pray that decisions would be made. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a day that actually changes the course of many people. Lord, I trust you with this work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope if you made a decision today, you'll let us know. You can go online. You can leave us a message. There's a place there for you to do that. You can leave a request if you have need of something. There's several ways that you can contact us. Don't hesitate one second. Our heart and our prayers are with you. And although we may not know everybody who's listening to us, we do love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do desire that God uses these message to bring you closer to the Lord, and that God may receive all the glory. Have a blessed day.